Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
I'm going to try to get through the program today, so Al, you'll be taking over most of the program, but I'll see if I can't get through to the market.
What if I also develop a cough?
Well,
and it's
Frank,
like Frank, the producer.
It goes to Frank.
Better be ready, Frank.
Have that replay from yesterday ready.
Mm-hmm.
Gold 820 to the downside, 1269. Silver down 34 at 1716. Platinum down 16 at 1052. Palladium down 13 at 598. The USTX today is up 31.31 at 94.14. Crude oil up 27 at 46.50. Paper markets today, pretty much flat across the board. The Dow was up a couple points, 17,713. The NASDAQ down 23 at 47.37. And the S&P down 0.34 at 2,064, 10-year yield 1.76, euro 114, down 0.45. And the today I really don't care what the foreign markets did, Al. I know China was down. They were down to to their lows. I'd have to think it passed through the others. But for today, that doesn't mean I don't care about them any other day. But for today, I don't care about the foreign markets. There you go, Al.
All right, we've got an article from Miss Talk. That's from Miss Shedlock. And the headline is Major Court Ruling Against Obamacare. Insurers will scream potential end of Obamacare. I don't know that this is serious enough to indicate that Obamacare is headed for its demise, but anybody who listens, you study Obamacare a little bit, pay attention to the news media. It seems almost inevitable that Obamacare is going to be badly debilitated. They may hang on to parts of it and keep it running for a while, but still, death by a thousand cuts seems to be what's in store for Obamacare. It says healthcare insurers are already taking it on the chin. Some insurers got out of the healthcare business entirely. Others stopped coverage in multiple states due to mounting losses. What happened is healthy individuals, especially millennials, decided to get out of Obamacare. Those who opted in after having been denied coverage previously were high-cost individuals. And what they're saying, Obamacare is not going to work unless healthy people pay for medical attention that they're not likely to need, meaning young people. Right? Young people don't need to go to the doctor unless they do something stupid on a motorcycle or skydiving or something. They don't generally need to go to the hospital. They don't need Obamacare to the same extent that senior citizens like myself, in theory, do need Obamacare. And the young people, if they are self-employed, if they're unemployed, if they're poor, if they're on welfare or whatever, then Obamacare makes sense to them. But if you have a job and you're paying for Obamacare out of your pocket, a lot of people just don't think that's a good idea, especially if they're healthy and they don't expect to have a medical problem in the foreseeable future. And even if they do expect, maybe there'll be a medical problem. It's everything about Obamacare indicates that its costs are so high that a lot of people, this was going to be free health care. And it's far from free. It's an expensive proposition. Adding fat to the fire, the federal court ruled today that cost-sharing reductions to insurers are unconstitutional payments. In a major ruling, Judge Rosemary Collier said the administration does not have the power to spend money on cost-sharing reduction payments to insurers without an appropriation from Congress. What they're saying is the Obama administration has been subsidizing the insurance companies in order to make ends meet. But the Supreme Court says you can't do that all on your own, Mr. Barack. What you've got to do is get the Congress to make an appropriation and say, well, we can subsidize the health care insurers. The Congress has not done so, and that means there's a problem. According to one federal court, this has to stop. At issue are billions of dollars in cost-sharing reduction payments under Obamacare, which are paid to insurance companies so they can reduce out-of-pocket costs such as deductibles for low-income people on Obamacare plans. Judge Collier stayed her ruling, so the administration can appeal her decision. So the decision's been made. It hasn't begun yet, but now we'll find out if the appellate courts agree with Judge Collier on whether or not President Obama can single-handedly order that money be given to insurers in order to paper over the fact that Obamacare is expensive and, for a lot of people, just flat-out unaffordable.
She issued an order stopping further reimbursements, but at the same time delays it. It's something.
She issued the order, but she stayed the enforcement of the order. And it's one of those things that, in a sense, she had to do. She can't just come up there and not issue an order. Her job is to issue an order, says yes, says no. She said no. Okay, but she said, but nevertheless, I'll stay enforcement of my decision until the administration appeals the decision to a higher court. Now, this isn't exactly unusual, but it's just more, it's another leaf in the breeze. It's another straw on the camel's back. And I don't think it's enough to finish Obamacare off, although the headline suggests that's possible. But Obamacare is kind of dying on its own. It's just fading and fading and fading. Not big time, it's got a ways to go, but just the same. What do we hear that's favorable about Obamacare? Does anybody hear anything that says, oh, this is great? I mean, I understand that people who are getting Obamacare for free or nearly free, and people who need that medical attention, yeah, I understand that they think it's wonderful. But what about people who are working for a living and wind up having to pay for it? They're not cheering. They might accept it, but they're not cheering. They're not going to miss it when it's gone. It's a leaf in the breeze that's evidence, more evidence. You can't come up with all these peculiar programs, government programs, when the economy is in trouble. You know, it'd be a different thing if Obamacare, they moved Obamacare through when the economy was strong. All right, fine, we can afford it. But when the economy is weak and we have high levels of unemployment, it may be that the need for something like Obamacare is maximized, but the ability to afford it is minimized. Because there are people out there that they're having a tough time just putting food on the table, feeding themselves and their family. And what Obamacare relies on ultimately is that healthy people will subsidize sick people. Now, in a sense, that's what all insurance is about. People who don't have accidents wind up subsidizing the guy who does. Right? People who don't get sick wind up, if you're insured, you wind up subsidizing the people who do get sick. That's what insurance is all about, but there are degrees. You know, you can go a little too far in one direction or the other. And when the subsidies are more than the healthy people can afford, then medical insurance is not likely to do well. And that's just what's happening. People don't have the money to play the game. Now, here's another story from the Chicago Sun-Times.
We did get an email in on this. It says the ACA, and this is The ACA is the Private Health Insurance Protection Act, but the concept of employer-provided health insurance is moribund and abandoned by all other advanced nations. Single payer, with all of its virtues and faults, is where it will all end up once the House of Cards collapses.
I agree. And when we talk about single payer, I'm not absolutely certain what they mean by the definition there, but I think they mean that if you want insurance, you pay for the insurance. Now, I don't know if that's true or false. I think actually when they talk about single payer, I think what they're talking about is the government alone will pay the
insurance. That's correct.
Yeah. I think that's actually correct.
The government pays it.
One guy, the government alone is going to pay for the whole thing. Well, when they say that, where's the government going to get the money? Right now, we allegedly have, according to John Williams, we have about 23% unemployment. They're not going to kick in anything on this. The economy has to improve before anything like single payer actually makes sense or is even possible. There's got to be enough money there when the government can just kind of reach into the trough with a bucket and scoop some out and use it to pay for health care. If we're going to stay in recession, we're not going to be able to afford this, and it's not going to happen. And which brings me back. Here's an article from the Chicago Sun-Times. And the headline is, A Manual to Present Backup Plan to Save Two Pension Funds. They're talking about Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor of Chicago. Again, he's presenting a backup plan to save two pension funds. And this is another illustration of government's just going broke, doesn't have the money to afford the things that it's promised in the past. Mayor Rahm Emanuel will unveil an alternative to his overturned plan to save two of four city employee pension funds within weeks, along with new revenue to pay for it to satisfy Wall Street rating agencies. All right. He's already had one a plan to save two of four city employee pension funds, and maybe all four of them. That was overturned. So now he's got a new and improved alternative plan. Save at least two of the four city employee pension funds. And he's got a plan along with that plan that will include new revenue to pay for it. Okay? Now we'll be interested. Where do you think the revenue is coming from, Melody? The only place it can come from is higher taxes.
Higher taxes?
No. And it'll be higher taxes essentially on the people who actually work for a living in Chicago in order to provide retirements for government employees so they can live in the style to which they've become accustomed. And where we're going on this to some degree is sooner or later people are going to have to realize if you want to retire and you want a retirement fund that will carry you through that, it may be incumbent on you to figure out how to do that because you're not going to be able to rely on government to take care of your retirement. Not the city, not the state, not the federal government. They're not going to, you can't depend on these people. You may get your retirement, and I know some people are, and you may get that retirement, but you can't count on it because most of us won't get significant retirement from the government for at least a number of years and someplace in the immediate future. You may be able to get your retirement for a couple more years, maybe. But sooner or later, we're going to see some significant cuts. The article continues. It says, Chief Financial Officer Carol Brown said, everything is on the table, including another increase in the monthly tax tacked onto Chicago telephone bills, both cell phones and landlines. All right, another one. Apparently, the people of Chicago have already been hammered with one or more tax increases on their telephone bills, but they're thinking maybe we could do it again. Maybe we can get away with it and do it again. She says, we're considering a wide range of revenue options to fund pensions. Well, I know they've got a wide range, but I'll bet it's not wide enough to suppose that city workers should fund their own retirement plans. Okay? I think what they're thinking of is a wide range of revenue options to extract the city employees' retirement funds from taxpayers who actually work for a living. Now, this is part of the big problem. People went in, they would go to work for the city, and the city promised them these fat pensions. They promised them a good wage while they were working for the city and great pensions when they retired. And these workers were dumb enough to trust the city. They said, yes, I'm going to get a great pension. Only now, you're not. And what they're saying is, well, we have to essentially screw the taxpayer. We can't be held liable for providing our own retirement. We work for the government. It's up to the taxpayers to fund our retirement. And in some instances, after we've only worked for 20 years, the taxpayers, they can work for 40, 50 years before they get to retire. But in some instances, government employees can retire after 20 years. And then at a retirement level that's double what the average taxpayer can expect to receive. Well, the fairness in this is, look, if you're going to work for somebody, fine. You can't hold someone else responsible for your retirement. You're going to actually have to take responsibility for your own retirement. All of us are going to have to do that. And those of us who are unable or unwilling to do so are going to have a difficult retirement for some time in the foreseeable future. In any case, they're considering a wide range of revenue options. Why? Because they've already tried this. They've had at least one plan that's been rejected, presumably by the courts. There isn't a revenue option that isn't on the table, according to, again, Chief Financial Officer Carol Brown. The ratings agencies trust we're working on the plan. Go back to the first sentence in this article. Mayor Rahm Emanuel will unveil an alternative to his overturned plan to save two of the four city employee pension funds. I don't know if that means two of them are solvent, two of them aren't, or it means they can only save two and the other two are on their own. But he says, along with the revenue to pay for it, to satisfy Wall Street rating agencies. Why do you suppose they have to satisfy Wall Street rating agencies, Melody?
Well, heavens, we wouldn't want anything to show negative.
Yeah, we don't want to lose. They need their credit rating at the highest possible level so they can borrow
money.
From other people to go on and continue their funding. They are in the hole. They are bankrupt, and they need to maintain that lifeline to creditors by saying, well, sure, the rating agencies say you can depend on us. And the truth is you can't. All right? We're going to talk more about this in a moment, but first we'll take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I have a short and brief special today. We got some 90% silver in, so this package includes $28 face value, which equals out to about 20 ounces of silver. So $28 face value, 90% silver, quarters or dimes, and an AU $5 Liberty gold piece that includes all your short, all your insurance for $750. $750 for that great little package of 90% silver and an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you listen to the program, you know the website address and you know where to sign up for the newsletter. Right now?
Yes, they should know, Melody.
They should know. DGScoins.com.
Just in case.
I made it.
Just in case, yes.
DGScoins.com.
You want to take a victory lap and
talk through another story? We'll try.
Yeah. We were talking about Rahm Emanuel and the problems there, mayor of Chicago, and the problems they're having trying to save a couple of pension funds for city employees. And Carol Brown, who is the chief financial officer, she says, the rating agencies trust we're working on a plan, and we're working on it. Now, the rating agencies are kind of hope the implication of her statement is that the rating agencies are saying, okay, we should reduce your rating to whatever, but we're going to kind of hold off because we're going to trust you because you said you're working on a new plan that's sure to work. And then we'll be able to maintain or perhaps even raise your credit rating. Who can say? And they say, well, we're working on that plan. You can trust us, Scout's Honor. Okay. And goes on and says, we understand the importance of articulating our plans sooner rather than later. Okay. We hope to do that in a timely fashion so as not to negatively impact the positive gains we've made. And what would those be, I wonder, Melody? It's like they've managed to keep breathing, and they regard it as a positive gain, but it's probably not all that positive.
No, you know, it's something, you know, this is Chicago. Over Mother's Day, they had, 48 shootings, 8 dead, you know, on a Mother's Day where you would think, you know, it'd be a little bit calm. But what are they doing in Chicago? I mean, you know, we hear all the time about how high their crime is, all the problems that they have. You know, Emmanuel, you know, is a buddy of Obama. It's like, I can't figure out what they're doing to that city unless they're just in there stripping it as best they can while they can. Because they're certainly allowing it to be destroyed. And they're certainly not – so maybe some of that money instead of pension plans should go to a – you know.
I think they should donate it to the Clinton Fund.
You think?
Yeah, that's where probably get as the much, maximum yeah. benefit is if they donate the money to the Clinton Fund.
Yeah, but he's a buddy of Obama. Yeah. He's a buddy of Obama.
I'm sure that the Clintons would not turn down the money just because Rahm is a buddy of Obama. I think that Hillary and Bill are sufficiently broad-minded where they'll take money from anybody, including gangsters and drug dealers and hitmen. Doesn't matter. You got the money. They got the time. Pensions here. Marilyn Emanuel refused.
Hey, Al.
Yeah.
We have a caller, Ivan. Would you like to do him first?
Wait a moment. Let me finish
continue?
This up.
All right.
Let me finish this, and it's only another... Okay. It'll only take me another 20 or 30 minutes, and I'll have this knocked right out of my mouth. Rahm Emanuel refused to talk turkey about the taxes he plans to raise to save the municipal employees and laborers' pension funds. But he goes on, he says, pensions were not funded for years. You don't get to $30 billion in 3 weeks of unfunded liabilities. He's saying they got $30 billion. Well, they're missing $30 billion. They need $30 billion. Now, and they plan to raise taxes, and this is interesting to me because if you divide $30 billion by the population of the city of Chicago, which I'm told is about 2.7 million people, you come up with, again, $30 billion divided by 2.7 million people, you come up with $11,111.11, right? $11,111.11. That's for every man, woman, and child in Chicago. That's what they need to come up with. Now, I won't say that they have to come up with it right now, but where that's not going to be an easy job. You're going to have to talk the average family of four into kicking in $44,444 in order to fund these pension funds and keep them running. And the pension funds were not funded for years. Whose fault is that? And it's not just it's the fault of the government. They refused, they didn't adequately fund the pension plans. It's the fault of the retirees. It was a fault of the city workers. They sat back and said, oh, we'll trust you. We know you'll be able to get that money out of the public. We don't have to worry about it for all the years it wasn't funded. People were irresponsible, and now we are at the day of reckoning. Okay? Rahm Emanuel says, I will not rest until we fix it. I'm already 6 agreements into trying to work it out. That means he's had 6 failed agreements. When I have an agreement, I'll tell you. All right? Rahm Emanuel is reading from the same playbook that we have in Greece. They can't pay the debt. All right? City's not going to be able to pay the debt. The creditors are saying you got to cut the pensions. Rahm Emanuel's trying to hold the pensions together, but where's the money going to come from? He says he has a plan, but he won't tell people what the plan is right now. You know, the truth of the matter is they are grasping at straws, and this is the sort of thing that we in the first article, we're talking about Obamacare, where they're being squeezed financially, and Obamacare is threatened. Well, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. The country is heading toward a lower standard of living, headed toward a number of corporate and perhaps governmental bankruptcies. And all of it means that if you are going to be protected in the coming years, it's going to probably be up to you, ladies and gentlemen, to provide for that protection. Having said that, I'm now prepared to speak with Ivan. Hello, Ivan. What up?
Good afternoon. Did you calculate the number per person in Chicago in your head, or did you use an abacus?
I used an abacus.
Very good. Excellent. My call is regarding what's happening in Brazil.
Okay.
They impeached the president today, I guess, or last night or whenever. And the next person in charge who is in a government is going to take over as for 6 months during the impeachment process or the jury, whatever. And he has, from my understand, connections to the global banking system. Now, BRICS being part, Brazil being part of BRICS, I feel that there is a Rothschild Empire striking back at some of these newly formed international banks, which are supposed to eventually replace their petrodollar or whatever. But you notice that Russia has are under sanctions by U.S., okay, which is by another BRIC country. China has a major slowdown and is under USA threat about the islands in the China Sea. And so I just was wondering what your thoughts are about this economic firestorm coming up at BRICS, and then also the one which China created. We spoke about this last year. I don't recollect the name of it, but it's an International China Consortium or something like that. what are your thoughts about and melodies about why Brazil is being attacked? I mean, Brazil is the strongest, let's say, the economic engine of the South Americas, okay? Because Argentina is broke, and many other, the other countries have absolutely not. It's like Germany in Europe is the engine, and Brazil is in South America. So what are your thoughts about it?
Well, I think it's part and parcel. You know, I can hear me coming back over your, I think you got your speakers on rather than a headset. Is that true, Ivan?
No. I don't.
Oh, I was getting an echo there. It's not happening anymore, which means it was Frank, the producer.
Oh, maybe he was listening in and NSA,
It might have been the NSA, hard to say.
Yeah.
His problem, the whole world is in a global depression right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of it. I don't know for a fact, but I believe that Brazil has been a significant, its economy has been based to a significant degree on its exports. If that's
right.
True, Brazil's not exporting as much as it has in the past. No one else is either. Neither is China. No one is able to export as much as they have in the past. We've talked about the Baltic Dry Index dropping from 12,000 a few years ago down to below 500 recently. It's evidence.
Yeah.
The Baltic Dry Index, for those who don't know, it measures the tonnage of cargo that's moving from place to place on the oceans. And when it falls that far, it's absolute evidence that global free trade is folding up and exporting nations in a big trouble right now.
Right.
Every nation, including China. China, everything they've been doing has been based on exports. They're in trouble right now because they can't export to the extent they have in the past, that they had relied on in the past. That may be going on. That may be part of the explanation for what's happening in Brazil. Whether Brazil is significantly an exporting nation, I can't say for an absolute fact, but I believe it is. But regardless, export or import, There's no question we're in some sort of a global depression right now. It's not just a global recession. We are in an economic global depression. It doesn't show up here in the United States in a way that's obvious yet. But
well,
I'll guarantee
it's well hidden. It's well hidden. A lot of lies are coming out of D.C.
Well, not just lies. Our economy is strong enough where we've been able to weather a storm that's been sinking other countries' boats. You know, they're in big trouble because the storm, we're big enough where we can weather this at least for a while. But in my estimation, we are also in as much trouble in terms of our national debt, unemployment, jobs shipped overseas, nobody's defending the borders, and illegal aliens come in and take job, whatever jobs are left, and diminish our wage scale. I mean, where's the silver lining? Where's cause for optimism? We may be the last nation to suffer in this global depression.
But well, I think we are suffering already, you know. But my thought was that due to the creation of BRICS Bank and the other Chinese bank, which was the international bank, you know, between, I think, Russia, China, and some.
Well, there have been a number of these. I think there might be 100 nations that have signed up to join into that infrastructure. What is it? International, the Asian Infrastructure Bank or something along those lines.
Right. Something like that. I don't remember now exactly what the name, but that's the one I was, you know, trying to remember.
Well, they are trying to impeach Rousseff. And I think the same thing is a great part of what's happening there is happening here. You know, she has fought off. She denies any of her administration that has done any types of crime. She was in there she was going to make cuts and so forth. The people don't want cuts. You know, they don't want their pensions cut. They don't want anything cut. And I do think it's a little bit more than just, they're having a difficult time. You got to remember they were, there was a big, the corruption during one of their state-run oil companies, but yet you have the people who think that she is a bad president or Dilma is a bad president, and they think waiting until 2018 is a horrible option. They don't think the next guy is going to be much better, but at least they're going to try something different, and that's kind of what we have here. At least
that's
we're
right.
trying something different. So
that's right.
We also see things happening in France. If you watch the last couple of days, they have general strikes going on. They have, particularly today, was quite bloody from what I understand. And so, I mean, the economy is breaking down. Someone is pulling the economy down by itself, so that you don't have any financial threat to the Rothschild Empire, like I said earlier, and that anything like BRICS or the international Chinese thing, that anything like that is totally wiped out, and the money is fully controlled out of London or Tel Aviv or wherever.
I think the problem we're bumping heads with right now is not simply that the economy is breaking down, in the sense that there have been economic failures and the rest of that. And I don't doubt that's true, but what's happening is the governments are breaking down. They are no longer able to deliver on the fat entitlements and benefits and subsidies that they had previously promised. Right?
Well, because
and that's what we're seeing in Brazil. They're not getting their free handouts. That's what we're seeing in France. The unions want to keep a situation where they don't have to work in order to be paid. Greece is the same situation. They want their entitlements. Chicago, the government employees want their entitlements. We're entitled to this fat pension plan, and you got to get it out of the taxpayers somehow, and you can't. Because through government mismanagement, they've decided to create a political system to run our economy rather than let the economy run itself. And in doing so, government has mismanaged these things, and they've promised people, you don't have to work. You vote for me, and we'll put you in a government job, and you can sit around and drink coffee all day. You vote for me, and you're going to get fat welfare entitlements. And the government made these promises for decades, and now we're finally getting to a point where governments can't deliver. We have to take a break, Yvonne. We are behind, and it's time for our commercials, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned to me and Melody and Yvonne.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we're still talking to Yvonne, if Yvonne is still on the phone. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I have two more points. I don't want to abuse your time. One, like myself, I worked many moons for, here, and I put into Social Security and so on, so... It was a nice slush fund for the government. People are putting in money after money, dollar after dollar, and so they used it for other things. And all of a sudden, now they stopped raising the Social Security, Obama administration. So that's one thing. I mean, I don't get pensions from companies, which I could see possibly when maybe out of business or whatever. Like some of the, ATT is still in form, but they used to have a big factory here in Allentown, and which was called Western Union, and they had good coverage after retired and so on. I worked for them very briefly, but mostly I worked for the power plants. But the other thing is, I don't know if you heard Trump talking, I guess, last Tuesday after the election, the two elections in West Virginia. And then he did indicate something which caught my eye, or my ear, let's say, about a bubble busting shortly. And he indicated that it better bust before he takes over. He'd rather have it bust before he takes over than, once he takes over. So I could understand that point. So I understand. So we are at the point again of another large bubble to explode. I don't know if it's derivatives or what is coming through, but I noticed it's still pretty active. They still sell out of cars, and I just wonder how many people are going to be out of jobs. There's a lot of talk about laying off people at Air Products. My son works at Discovery Channel, talking about their layoffs, and Philips in Pittsburgh. And so, everybody's starting to shrink. And, these people are buying new stuff, new cars, and they won't be able to pay off. There'll be a lot of repositions, repos and stuff like that. So,
okay, so what's your question, Yvonne?
Well, the question is, one, Social Security, I think we are entitled since we paid into it.
Yep.
Secondly, as far as the bubble, we may be in another major depression or whatever.
Okay, let's do with the business on Social Security. It's true that virtually everyone listening to this program has paid into Social Security at one point or another.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we all think that we're entitled to that payment. But truth of the matter is, what happened, we just talked about what happened to the government pensions that haven't been funded for decades in Chicago. Now, who's responsible for not funding those pensions? And it's true that the government is responsible, they're the first ones, but what about the people who expected to receive those pensions? They didn't do their due diligence and protect what they had put into those pensions. And they just, we can trust the government. We can trust the government. Well, how? And now they're going to take it in the neck because you can't trust the government. And what is the difference between the government employees in Chicago who think they're entitled to a nice fat pension and the rest of us who may think we're entitled to Social Security when it's been common knowledge for decades that the government's been borrowing, taking the money out of the Social Security funds and just putting IOUs in there?
Well,
the Social Security funds have been looted. They are full of IOUs, yeah. But, there's a point here where how are we going to get that money out of Social Security, Yvonne?
Yeah,
it's
the
not
problem
there.
Is that
it's not
that
there.
There
when
no,
we tax
no.
the millennials, how about we tax the millennials? Huh? They don't have any money.
The thing is that I agree. You trust the government to keep first of all, there was no other alternative unless you play a stock market or whatever, trying to retire, okay?
Even if you played the stock market,
yeah.
Right? And the stock market is risky business.
Correct.
If you'd done gold or silver, it would be a lot less risky. But even if you invested in the stock markets, I'll bet you that come time for retirement, you'd be way ahead of how much money in terms of how much money is actually there as compared to how much money is promised in Social Security but no longer exists.
Well,
that you could find a worse investment than trusting the government to run your pension plan.
Long term,
I don't think you can do worse. Maybe you can. You could get Bernie Madoff.
and
there's some other hustlers and con artists. Who are perhaps even worse than the government. But this is a bad situation, and we can blame the government. I'm inclined to do so, but we got to take responsibility too. We've known for decades that the government was borrowing the money from Social Security and replacing it with an IOU.
Well, I don't know if we knew it for years, but...
It's been a common knowledge. I'll bet you 15, 20 years. People have understood this, but nobody did anything about it. We let it go.
Since Clinton, at least, because we all knew he was borrowing from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason he had a great presidency for the economy, because he borrowed all the money from the Social Security Fund.
Well,
That's what, you know.
If there's money laying around loose and you let the government, the government's going to find an excuse to take it and use it.
I actually saw a headline.
Brings us back to the lesson. If you want to take it, if you want to prepare for your retirement, you need to do your own work. You need to do it yourself. And when you start trusting other people to set up your retirement plan for you, and we'll keep you, give us your money and we'll protect it for you, you need to think about that and you need to review it. If you're going to do it, some of the programs are worth doing, but if you're going to do it, you better keep an eye on them. You better watch them every 90 days, 6 months at the most. If they're going off the rails, get out now. Dump them. If anything's happening to affect your savings, you've got to do something and you've got to find another alternative, because if you're going to trust them, you're going to get robbed. What were you saying, Melody?
Well, I forgot now, Al.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about Trump and his bubble. Trump says he'd rather see that bubble pop now than wait until then he takes office, is essentially what he's saying. He's like, I don't want any bubble. He wants it. And there's people. I listened to Catherine Austin Fitz on an interview with Greg Hunter just today. I heard it this morning. I think she was interviewed a couple of days ago. And she was talking about the possibility that Trump has the approval of the powers that be. She's thinking that Trump couldn't have made the progress he's made if he was completely outside of the system. And I don't mean that he's necessarily a member of the powers that be, but it may be that they've just said, fine, we can work with this guy, let's get him in there. If Trump really has been approved by the powers that be, would it be better for him to take over the presidency after the bubble has popped, or would it be better for him to take over the presidency and have the bubble pop after he was in office?
The answer is, right now,
it would be very convenient if this economic bubble popped while President Barack Obama was still in office.
Yeah,
not many people like him. He would be, I mean, he's made for the part, right? He's like Lee Harvey Oswald. He is the patsy. The bubble popped. He says, I'm the patsy in this. Nobody cares, right? And Trump could get into office with a clean slate. And the implication there is Trump, you know, he may be hinting that, look, it'd be a good idea to have this thing pop now so he can come in with clean skirts.
Right. But what I'm saying is there was not much talk about a bubble. I mean, yeah, they were talking about possible, but he kind of brought it up to, you know, to the stage.
Yep.
Which, you know, kind of woke up a lot of quite a few people, I presume, when he would talk about it, that there is a bubble to be ready to explode.
Yep.
Now,
it's one of the reasons people delight in his candidacy is because he's making the system face issues that the system doesn't want to talk about.
Right.
Right. Trump would say, hey, look over there. Look at that elephant. What's that elephant doing in the closet? Don't say anything about the damn elephant. Whatever you do, don't say anything. And Trump's, I'm telling you, I see an elephant in the closet.
Yeah.
And people say, maybe he's crazy, but it turns out, yeah, there is an elephant in the closet. And how did it get there? Who's responsible? Who's going to clean up after the elephant?
I don't think that he'd let the economy collapse while Obama is still president. He's done too much for them. He's been protected. I mean, a guy can basically do no wrong. I can't imagine him sinking him with a bad economy.
I can. They can sacrifice him. I think they could sacrifice
anybody
around.
Just like they've never sacrificed Hillary Clinton. Look at all that she's done, and they didn't sacrifice her. So I don't think it's going to be them that sacrifices her if she does get, you know. But I don't think they would do anything to make Obama look bad.
Well, I think,
not at this point. Or we'd already see more of it unwinding today.
If they want to ensure that Donald Trump looks on them with something like a friendly eye, is it better to dump Obama right now and let him take the rap for a popping bubble? Or should they leave it to Donald? Donald say, you dirty SO guns, sons of guns. You left me with the popped bubble, and you could have given it. Obama's done. All right, he's finished. Where's the problem?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like pulling the plug on somebody who's got he's got 2 hours to live, and somebody pulls the plug on him. That's a little bit the way I imagine they look at it. What do you think, Obama or Ivan?
Yeah, I agree. I think they are going to sacrifice. They'll sacrifice anyone who is, you know, who they feel is disposable. It's like anybody else.
Agree.
You know, like you were saying about Oswald and so on. I mean, they were all patsies. They're all puppets, and they can draw one puppet versus another. You know, so I don't see that they certainly could pop it before a long and hot July, you know, or sometimes like that.
Here's one more point bring up just while we mentioned Catherine Austin Fitz in her interview with Greg Hunter. Really a wonderful interview. You can find it on YouTube, and you can get a week's worth of information in what is a 59-minute interview. Tons of information. One of the things she pointed out, someone who represents Donald Trump, one of his political campaign managers, assistants, whatever, was being interviewed on one of the TV programs and talking about Hillary, and the representative for Trump said, Hillary's never been vetted. And the announcer, the interviewer, said, what are you, essentially said, are you crazy? She's been in the news, you know, all her life. She was first lady, she was this, that, and the other. And the woman speaking for the Trump campaign said, no, no one has ever looked at Hillary's relationship to Benghazi really in public. Nobody's looked at her relationship to the email problem really in public. The media has largely given her a pass. Yes, it's in the news, but nobody's hammered her on it. Now, the implication is that Trump is preparing to come after Hillary hammer and tong. And whatever she's done over the last however many years, I think it's maybe all coming out in this election. And when we talk about sacrificing, I think they'll turn anybody. I think they'll sacrifice anybody, including their own children.
Oh, of course. I mean, this is
Hillary is not guaranteed not to be sacrificed.
I think they might even switch her with Biden and have Biden run as a Democratic nominee for president.
Not if the bubble pops in the meantime. He's going to take the heat
true.
For the Obama administration.
Right. Yeah. Well,
question here. We're down. We're about out of time here, Ivan.
Okay.
The big question is, will the bubble pop before or after the November election?
I'd say
now
before.
That's an interesting question, and there are people who may know what they're talking about, who think that's a reasonable question, an important question, and it's not just hypothetical, serious business. Will the bubble pop in the next 6 months, or will it wait until sometime after the first of next year? We will have to watch and find out. We'll know as time unfolds. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.